Como se recordará, también hubo una orquestación internacional para desencadenar la salida de Morales en ese momento, la complicidad de Luis Almagro, ese sujeto que, de haber sido canciller en el gobierno de José Mujica en Uruguay, luego se transformaría en el más obsecuente sirviente de los intereses de Washington en su calidad de secretario general de la OEA. Almagro, en esa ocasión, proclamó un fraude que en verdad ahora se ve claro que nunca existió. Morales y su partido siempre gozaron de un gran apoyo de parte del pueblo boliviano. Y por cierto, hay buenas razones para ello. Nunca Bolivia en los últimos años había experimentado el grado de crecimiento económico que tuvo en los años del gobierno del MAS. No solo ese gobierno puso el acento en la recuperación para control nacional de los hidrocarburos, sino que además y con mucha visión, había dejado también bajo control nacional los yacimientos de litio, un mineral de gran valor potencial y del cual Bolivia tiene importantes reservas. El gobierno de facto de la nefasta Jeanine Áñez entregó a intereses privados ese importante recurso y recuperarlo para el patrimonio boliviano será un dolor de cabeza para la nueva administración, pero recuperarlo es también imperativo. Bolivia bajo Morales también se había embarcado en desarrollar la industria y emprendido una serie de obras públicas que, evidentemente, representaron un importante progreso para el país, sumado también, por cierto, a los programas sociales y de mejoramiento en el plano de la educación y otros servicios para la población. Por cierto, ahora las condiciones serán un tanto diferentes para el gobierno de Arce. Las demandas y el efecto sobre los ciudadanos y sobre la economía que ha puesto la pandemia del COVID-19 representan para cualquier país un serio desafío. Para un país como Bolivia, esa situación pondrá serios obstáculos a sus planes del nuevo gobierno. Eso sin contar que los enemigos del proceso boliviano, tanto dentro como los ultraderechistas de José Luis Camacho, como los intereses imperiales, estarán conspirando para hacer fracasar las iniciativas del nuevo gobierno. Otro aspecto importante a no desconocer debe ser una política hacia las Fuerzas Armadas. Es indispensable para procesos políticos que se proponen cambios profundos en un país como Bolivia, que en este caso el MAS y grupos aliados al gobierno busquen influir a los militares que en ese país, en su mayoría, han estado tradicionalmente más cercanos a la derecha. En todo caso, para Bolivia se abre una nueva oportunidad de seguir y profundizar los procesos de cambio que había iniciado el gobierno de Morales. Y esta segunda oportunidad debe ser aprovechada al máximo para consolidar los cambios y, sobre todo, para que el pueblo trabajador, la mayoría indígena del país, sus sectores juveniles, refuercen su protagonismo en esta nueva etapa en que entra Bolivia. This has been a week of celebrations and re-encounters in Bolivia. Last Sunday, the new president, Luis Arce, took office as head of state, accompanied by David Choquehuanca as vice president. At the same time, the historical leader of the Movement to Socialism, MAS for its Spanish acronym, Evo Morales, made his triumphant return. The overwhelming 55% victory of Arce in last month's elections paved the way for this important moment in Bolivian history, when the people of that country have reiterated their confidence in the political project that the MAS represents, as Argentine President Alberto Fernández pointed out when he came to say goodbye to former President Morales on his return to his home country from exile in Argentina. The MAS thus returned to government just 1 year after Evo Morales was deposed, for that was a coup d'etat with sui generis characteristics. Although the repression was felt, and caused many casualties. In its beginning, however, the coup was more of an act of by omission. The military hierarchy simply withdrew its support for the president and opened the way for his removal. Morales, fearing for his life, had no choice but to take the path of exile, first in Mexico and then in Argentina. As it will be recalled, there was also an international orchestration to unleash Morales' departure at that time. The complicity of Luis Almagro, that individual who had been a foreign minister in the government of José Mujica in Uruguay, would later become the most obsequious servant of Washington's interest as Secretary General of the OAS. Almagro, on that occasion, decried a fraud that in truth is now clear that it never had existed. Morales and his party always enjoyed great support from the Bolivian people. And by the way, there are good reasons for this. Never in recent years has Bolivia experienced the degree of economic growth that it had in the years of the MAS government. Not only did that government emphasize recovery for a national control of hydrocarbons, but also, and with great vision, it had left under national control the deposit of lithium, a mineral of great potential value and of which Bolivia has important reserves. The de facto government of the nefarious Jeanine Áñez gave this important resource to private interest, and recovering it for the Bolivian patrimony will be a headache for the new administration. But recovering it is imperative. Bolivia under Morales had also embarked on the development of industry and undertaking a series of public works that evidently represented important progress for the country, that also accompanied by important improvements in social programs. Of course, conditions will now be somehow different for the Arce government. The demands and the effects on citizens and on the economy of the COVID-19 pandemic represent a serious challenge for any country. For a country like Bolivia, this situation will put serious obstacles to the government's plans. Not to mention that the enemies of the Bolivian process, both within and outside, José Luis Camacho's right-wing extremist, as well as imperial interest, will be conspiring to make the new government's initiatives fail. Another important aspect not to be ignored should be a policy toward the armed forces. It is indispensable for political processes that propose profound changes in a country like Bolivia that, in this case, MAS and groups allied with the government seek to influence the military, which in that country has traditionally been closer to the right. In any case, a new opportunity is opening up for Bolivia to follow and deepen the processes of change that have been initiated by the Morales governments. And this second opportunity must be taken advantage of to the maximum to consolidate the changes and, above all, to allow that the working people, the indigenous majority of the country, the youth sectors who support these changes, reinforce their leading role in this new stage in which Bolivia is entering. Good day.
Me podrás convencer de que ya se olvidó de mi amor, pues yo sé que de verdad me quieres solo a mí, aunque esté tan lejos hoy de mí. Butterfly, my butterfly, sabes bien que volveré. Butterfly, my butterfly, junto a ti me quedaré. Nuestro amor cruzará cielo y mar, porque es un amor sin igual. lo ves, no dudes más, me quieres solo a mí, aunque esté tan lejos hoy de mí. Siempre fue y será nuestro amor, lo mejor que jamás encontré. Ya lo ves, no dudes más, me quieres solo a mí, aunque esté tan lejos hoy de mí.
No volveremos más a esa isla serena, no volveremos más a esa isla de amor, no volveremos más, ya no vale la pena, no volveremos más, solo queda el dolor. Capri, se acabó pensar que hay nació nuestro primer querer. Capri, se acabó, nunca jamás hay ese lugar de devolver. Capri, se acabó pensar que hay nació nuestro primer querer. Capri, se acabó, nunca jamás hay ese lugar de devolver. No volveremos más, donde yo te amé tanto. No volveremos más a vivir nuestro amor. A veces yo quisiera poder recomenzar, pero sé que es inútil que tú te has de negar. No volveremos más, pero no olvidaré aquellos días felices que contigo pasé. No volveremos más a vivir el pasado, ya todo ha terminado. No volveremos más. Thank you. nada más es el gran desorden. Ese lugar de volver. Oh, Castillo, se acabó. Pensar que hay naciones tropas y me quedé.
Ahora vamos al fichero latino de hoy, 15 de noviembre, y entre los eventos tenemos Visión Diversité presenta, en colaboración con el Teatro Outremont, un evento musical mensual muy especial, En toute intimité, en con toda intimidad, que permite vivir momentos especiales con uno, dos o tres artistas. En directo, desde un espacio privilegiado creado especialmente para estos eventos en el Teatro Tremont, los espectadores pueden experimentar este momento en el calor de su propio hogar. El 17 de noviembre a las 8 p.m. a través de Facebook en vivo desde Visión Diversité y en este segundo encuentro, Mancel Ruiz y Dominique Gamelin compartirán con nosotros en canciones, momentos musicales, recuerdos e intercambios este viaje de los últimos 10 años que les ha permitido ser conocidos y amados por el público de Quebec.
Para acceder a la velada virtual el 17 de noviembre a las 8 p.m., haga clic aquí en el www.facebook.com/visiondiversité/live/ nuevamente.
Este año se realizará de forma virtual el Festival Internacional de Guitarras del Mundo, entre el 9 y el 22 de noviembre, y contará con la participación de casi 100 guitarristas de todo el mundo. Se transmitirá por la página de Facebook del Ministerio de la Cultura y la Nación de Argentina y de YouTube oficial a las 19 horas, hora argentina, 17 horas, hora de Montreal. También pueden buscar más información sobre este festival en YouTube directamente, que lo pueden encontrar live.
Argentina, presente en la 23ª edición del Festival Internacional del Documental, que se lleva a cabo durante 3 semanas, del 12 de noviembre al 12 de diciembre, y estará organizada en 8 secciones temáticas en las que los largometrajes, los medios y los cortometrajes tendrán espacio. En esta oportunidad, Argentina participa en el festival con las siguientes películas:
Piedra Sola de Alejandro Telémaco Tarraf, disponible del 12 al 18 de noviembre. Mother Child de Andrea Testa, Quel que Jos Brûle de Victoria Marechal, Nicolás Tabiló y Macarena Astete, disponible desde el 19 al 25 de noviembre del 2020. Para ver las películas, ir al sitio web del festival, que es www.ridm.ca y buscar en la selección por título.
Y el tiempo para hoy, según Environment Canada, la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá, periodos de lluvia con una temperatura máxima de 7 grados. Para esta noche, lluvia con una mínima de 7 grados.
Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, comuníquense con nosotros a Latin Time a nuestra dirección de correo electrónica laplaza.info@gmail.com.
O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com, tiempo latino, Latin Time, y de paso denos un like.
Y Tiempo Latino es escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del Internet. Entre al sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección: www.ckut.ca.
Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario, simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado y presionando Latin Time.
Yo no fumo ni puedo beber vino, tú sabes por qué. Ni gafas uso, aunque nada veo, y todo por ti. Vivo solo con la paga de empleado de ayuntamiento, poco gano, muchas gastas y me cuesta la salud. Me revuelvo y luego cedo por tenerte junto a mí, y tú en cambio me la pegas con el dueño de un café. Ágata, tú que me entiendes, Ágata, tú no comprendes, Ágata, mira, entérate, cómo este hombre se humilla por ti. Dado caro por un reloj suizo, 3 años va, y hace 3 años que ya lo sacudo y sigo igual. Mi chaqueta gris oscura está ya descolorida y se ha vuelto verde clara, ya la usaba mi papá. Y me ha dicho el viejo sastre, ya no la puedo volver, pues lo he hecho muchas veces y aún más no aguantará. Ágata, tú que me entiendes, Ágata, tú no comprendes. Ágata, mira, entérate, cómo este hombre se humilla por ti. Mi comida la tengo racionada, siempre por ti. Las mañanas solo un vaso de agua y sin café. Vuelvo a casa y no te encuentro, y el portero que se burla, ¿dónde fuiste? A bailar. Me conmuevo y pienso que ya no echamos el julepe cada tarde tras el té. Hoy me hago un solitario, miro al cielo y pienso en ti. Ágata, tú que me entiendes, Ágata, tú no comprendes. Ágata, mira, entérate, cómo este hombre se humilla por ti.
Y esto ha sido todo por hoy. Esta ha sido una edición especial de Tiempo Latino. Estuvimos con ustedes en las voces Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez. Producción técnica, compaginación y selección musical, Rommel Cajavilca. Tiempo Latino estará de regreso el próximo domingo en las ondas de CKUT 90.3 FM. Manténgase en las ondas de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa de International Radio Report. Tengan todos ustedes un muy feliz domingo.
Latin Time was a Latin American Communications Workshop production. Our team today: Daniel Lara and Sergio Martinez at the mics, and in charge of the technical production, editing and music selection, Rommel Cajavilca. Latin Time will return next Sunday at 9 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. Stay tuned to CKUT next, the International Radio Report. Have a happy Sunday.
Pasó tarjeta de visita pa' decirme te invito a navegar. Yo tengo a montón blancos caballos grandes, también traigo en la manga algún galeón. Y viento que embriaga al que me venga en zaga en el fácil ensueño de la pereza isleña. Hay tierras allá donde lindas sirenas te esperan en la arena. Del mundo secreto y rotundo, como un guijarro, pero te encontré tendida en la playa, frágil, deseable, y te deseé. Más bella que los viajes, más dulce, más salvaje, más tierna y más tirana que este mar que me llama. Tus ojos abiertos de cielo azul.
This is George Zeller of Cleveland. Listen to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and our show for November the 15th, 2020. My name's Sheldon. I am here with Jill. We are here with you every Sunday with 30 minutes of news and information about the world of radio. We thank you for joining us today. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. We are live streaming and archived at ckut.ca. And we invite you to join our Facebook group. It is called International Radio Report. We welcome three new members this week, Mohammed, Scott, and Rudolph joining us. You can find full-length stories that we feature here on the program on the page, as well as other stories and reports that don't make it to our 30 minutes of airtime every week. So we invite you to check out what's there and feel free to post up material yourself. So that's International Radio Report on the Facebook. And this week we have a pretty wide selection of stuff for everyone, I think. Hopefully you'll find some interesting things from Canada, from the United States, and some ham contests, as usual, coming up from other parts of the world. So I guess we should get things going.
Oh, yeah. Lots to talk about.
That's what we're here for. All right. We will start with something of interest to our Canadian listeners in particular. And the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission wants to hear from Canadians. The CRTC is launching public consultation on its commercial radio policy. And the CRTC is keen to hear from a wide range of Canadians about radio listening habits, behaviors and views as part of its review of commercial radio. The information will help the CRTC better understand how the radio industry can meet the needs and interests of Canadians in both official languages. It will also help the CRTC determine how to best update its regulations to ensure Canada's commercial radio industry remains competitive in a digital environment. Canadians are encouraged to share their opinions by completing an online survey by November the 26th, 2020. Canadians can also submit their comments by February the 1st, 2021, using one of the following methods: filling out an online form, writing to the Secretary General of the CRTC in Ottawa, K1A0N2, or if you have this ancient technology, you can send them a fax at 819-994-0218. All submissions will form part of this proceeding and will be added to the public record. They say radio is an important source of news and information for Canadians. They spend close to 15 hours per week tuning into traditional radio, as well as listening to a multitude of digital platforms. As technology evolves, we invite Canadians to tell us about their expectations and experiences regarding commercial radio stations. This will help us ensure that their needs are reflected in the programming, as well as support the work of Canadian artists and broadcasters. And that comes from Ian Scott, chairperson and CEO of the CRTC. And they supply a few quick facts. The review of commercial radio follows the commission's report titled Harnessing Change, the Future of Programming Distribution in Canada, which highlights trends in Canadians' consumption of audiovisual content. The report found that an increasing number of Canadians are now discovering audio content on digital platforms. In addition to an online survey, the CRTC has conducted the same survey with a sample of Canadians who are statistically representative of the population. The information gathered through this public consultation will help the Commission assess the relevance and effectiveness of the rules currently governing commercial radio in Canada and determine the specific uses to be addressed in the new policy. The proceedings will also include the record from the review of French language vocal music that was initiated in 2015. And finally, Canada's commercial radio sector includes AM and FM radio stations, except those owned and operated by the CBC Radio Canada or licensed as campus, community, indigenous, or ethnic stations. So we will put up the links to the surveys and the forms that you can fill out online if you wish to do it that way. And you'll have all the details about the consultation that's going on. As they say, the online survey needs to be completed by November the 26th. So you have just about 10 or 11 days to get that done. So this will be interesting to see. They're looking, obviously, to see what sorts of changes are affecting people out there in Canada, what new toys they're playing with, I guess, and what new technologies they're stumbling onto or finding. So I guess it might be different in different parts of Canada. The bigger cities might have, you know, a little more tech savvy in some cases, maybe.
Yep.
And some of the smaller towns, maybe, you know, with not as effective internet services, possibly. You know, lots of different things affecting it. So this will sort of give them a broad picture across the country, depending, of course, how many people participate in the survey.
I think it's also time to modernize all the rules. More and more people are maybe at some point moving away from traditional AM, FM radio, going online to listen to music or all sorts of information. So it's time to look at, you know, what can keep the listener to AM, FM also. And the other thing that is interesting to look at in here is the fact that maybe it's time, but I know it's not going to happen, but, you know, bilingual stations would be nice to be added to the market in some places in Canada.
It's about time. It's about time that wall was knocked down and let it happen. I mean, geez, it's just, to me, that's just like, you know, prehistoric that they haven't done that by now. But for some reason, it seems to be such a sensitive issue with the CRTC. So we'll have to wait and see if that comes up. Hopefully some people might comment on that in the surveys as well.
Yeah, but there's a lot of money also in there. So, you know, a lot of stations are probably scared that if we go bilingual on some channels, they could lose some audience.
Yeah, I think that's part of the concern as well. Our next story is a really interesting one. It's talk about modernization of things. Well, this is a station that's looking kind of to do something really quite unique.
So it's Manitoulin boasts Canada's first off-grid radio stations. This is from the Manitoulin Expositor via Mike Brooker in Toronto, Ontario. Great Lakes Country 103 FM and Hits 100 FM have opened a new broadcasting studio and office space at the Flat Rock Entertainment Center, becoming the first off-grid commercial radio stations in Canada, according to CEO Craig Timmermans. It's super nice not to have an electricity bill anymore, says Mr. Timmermans, as he leads a tour through his company's new headquarters on the southeast edge of Little Current. The northwest corner of the station is the nerve center of the operation, featuring the building's fresh water tank, its battery bank, and all of the requisite electrical equipment needed to manage both the charging infrastructure and reroute its power into the building. Mr. Timmermans has built two solar panel racks, and there will eventually be six in operation. The two panels provided nearly enough power on their own this summer. There is also one small wind turbine in place with more set to come online. The sophisticated software and the electrical control system automatically starts the generator when the batteries get depleted. The station batteries can power the building for up to a week if need be. Mr. Timmermans estimates he will use $30 in diesel fuel through the whole winter season when the sun's energy does not reach Manitoulin Island as strongly as in the summer. And in the summer months, free AC, he beams. Next to the control room is a bathroom with a power-operated sliding barn door as its entrance, a unique module that Mr. Timmermans built to address accessibility requirements. the southwest corner of the building, is home to the Hits 100 FM studio, which is still under construction at the time of the hour. The central table in the studio has a large vintage control board, Mr. Timmermans explains, that the new board, about a third of the size of the old one, will replace all of the features of the larger system and add new functionality. When the studio is complete, it will only use the smaller board, the same system already in use in the adjacent Country 103 studio in the southeast corner of the building. In that studio, the flagship space, a wooden spool, serves as central table. There are four microphones in place around the table, and the new style boards are Bluetooth enabled, as are all of the desk phones in the office. This interconnectivity provides an easy way to handle call-in shows where a phone line can wirelessly go on the air at the push of a button. The smaller, lighter equipment is also portable and can be used to expand the amount of behind-the-mic spaces within the studio booth. The ample-sized broadcasting booth also features sliding patio doors to the outside. In the open central area, a second-level balcony runs through the building with office spaces upstairs. Missing from the classic radio station look is a massive tower at the top of the building for relaying the signal to the main transmitter. In the digital age, a modest antenna stands on the building's roof, and a single small transmitter sends the radio signals, internet, and phone all in one. The space is more spread out than the previous downtown location, which has additional COVID-19 physical distancing benefits. Their staff is largely still working from home at this time, but is beginning to return to the office gradually. This is kind of neat and very nice also in, you know, I was thinking when I was reading it, when there's, you know, big storms, if there's some kind of problem and no electricity, I mean, they have the power up to a week. This is pretty good. And it's kind of nice to see that they're kind of turning green, if you want. They're using their own power, generated power. And it's kind of neat to hear that there are some stations and organizations that are going like that.
Yeah, power consumption, well, cost of power in Ontario, where this station is located, is very high to begin with. So as he said, you know, that was probably one of their largest bills. And to not have one coming their way every month is going to enable them to use that money for other things.
Yep.
So I think it's a really neat initiative, and they can probably be used as a model station for others that might want to go the same route. So hopefully, as you said, this might catch on, and it is they can call themselves the green station, I guess, by becoming much more self-sufficient that way as well. So congratulations to them, a really neat undertaking, and thanks to Mike Brooker for passing that story along to us. Next, we have some news of some free material out there for all you radio DXers out there. It is the International Radio Club of America, and they are offering free reprints. We thank Nick Hallpatch and Mike Terry via World of Radio for passing this along. Recently, the North American DX Club, IRCA, or the International Radio Club of America, has released to the public more than 900 past articles from their publication DX Monitor. Since 1964, IRCA has been documenting medium wave DXing and DXers' efforts to improve their understanding of radio reception and to develop better listening techniques. During that time, over 900 articles have been written that have furthered the art of DXing. Many of these continue to be relevant to the more general radio hobbyist, including articles about antennas, radio propagation, receivers, and accessories, plus general technical information. Previously, those articles were only available to club members, but they are now available to everyone. You'd simply need to go to ircaonline.org, ircaonline.org, and click on the free IRCA reprints button to download your own copies. And I took a look at it last night. It is unbelievable how much material is there. You could spend weeks or months going through all of these articles. So if you're really into DXing, particularly medium wave DXing, And radio articles in general. You're going to find just tons of useful information there. So we'll put up the link to it. Go check it out. And we thank the International Radio Club of America for deciding to make all of this incredible material available to everyone at no charge. So that's really great.
That's a lot of fun because I like to read radio articles and have access to a lot of stuff. I would like to add, if you like free books and free magazines, you can also go to worldradiohistory.com. They have hundreds, thousands of books of electronics and radio communications, including the good old, you know, magazines like Monitoring Time. They're all there, Popular Communications. And what I like to do also on that website is go into the radio books of like 1930 or 1940 and look at what they were talking about in the advertisements. It's just a lot of fun. There, too, you will have probably more than you can ever read in your lifetime.
Well, yeah, there's so much material out there, and to be able to access it so quickly through the internet is just great. So enjoy it all. We'll, as I said, we'll put up links to those for you on the Facebook page so you can go check them out.
And so the sun this week is once again fairly active. We had a nice big sunspot, the same one from last week, 2781, crossing the surface. Decaying slowly, but it maintained a solar flux above 90 most of the week. We had the K index that stayed quite low most of the week also, one or two, so nothing bad happening. Propagation was pretty good and very, very interesting. We are in this time when it's interesting. We're still discovering a little bit of the new B20 shortwave schedule season. And there's a lot of interesting stuff out there to listen to. There's another sunspot that appeared, I believe, yesterday as we record this, 2782. So, you know, solar activity is continuing to slowly increase. So hopefully solar cycle 25 is going to maintain that increase in that solar activity. There's a small coronal hole that is actually having some solar wind flowing, and it could actually impact us on today, November 15th. So if propagation is not all that it could be today, Sunday, well, that could be the reason why it's happening. For the rest, we'll continue monitoring, but conditions overall should be quite good, and it's fun to see the sun is active again.
This is Gary Neal of Cockeysville, Maryland. You're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Next, we move on to a story. We've been doing a lot of stories, actually, about HD radio recently. But this one is it's a little bit different. Something that we've not talked about. Somebody kind of turning back the clock a little bit here. And it comes out of Wisconsin. So what's this one all about?
So this one is one of those stories that scares me after buying a HD radio. So this is from Radio World. And basically, in October, Wisconsin Public Radio and the state agency that manages stations that carry WPR programming announced they were reducing their use of HD radio. So this is the public radio of Wisconsin. They noted that their use of HD radio dated to 2007 and that WPR and the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board had installed 13 HD radio transmitters carrying existing WPR content that also allowed WPR to broadcast its all-classical network on HD2 multicasts. So beginning Monday, October 19th, the ECB will turn off HD radio broadcasts on 7 of WPR's 13 HD-capable stations, they announced. Those are licensed to the communities of Superior, Brule Superior, Ashland, Park Falls, Menominee-Eau Claire, Adams, Wisconsin, Rapids, and Sister Bay. The organization will continue to operate HD radio for now on stations serving Delafield, Milwaukee, Madison Island, La Crosse, Wausau, and Green Bay. WPR and the ECB received federal grants to install HD radio technology, but the costs of maintaining the service statewide are no longer justifiable based on audience use, they wrote. The audience in question is the one listening to multicasts. ECB Executive Director Marta Bechtol estimated that fewer than 500 listeners would be affected and noted that the classical network continues online and via apps and smart speakers. She also emphasized in the public that WPR service on their usual FM and AM stations would not be affected. HD Radio has launched nationally in 2002 with a promise to provide higher quality digital audio to radio listeners. Stations purchased new equipment to broadcast HD radio, and listeners were required to purchase new radios to pick up the signals. The announcement continued. While many stations like WPR invested in the new technology, few consumers purchased the radios, which have become difficult to find despite some benefits. HD radio has failed to attract enough listeners to offer a sustainable alternative to FM or even AM analog radio for many broadcasters. So this is interesting. We were discussing how I suddenly noticed that, you know, when you go to the stores, electronics stores, it's already almost difficult to find a radio. And I never seen an HD radio in a store, actually. And you got to know that this technology exists also. If you don't, you know, I'm a tech geek, a radio geek, I know, but most people probably don't even know it exists. And this, you know, is showing that maybe HD radio is, well, it's showing that it's not taking off. And one of the things that also is to mention, they are saying, well, you know, you can go online to listen to us, which does have better quality audio also. And maybe online listening is actually a big competition to HD radio also.
Would be an interesting experiment to walk into a couple electronic shops and say, you know, could you show me something in an HD radio and see what reaction you get from the salespeople. You know, I just don't know. I don't even know where I would go. Where would you start by going to look for an HD radio?
Yeah.
You know, in a store, I mean, you'd probably be best to start online to begin with. You know, just type in HD radio and see what comes up. But to walk into I don't know. We have the a number of different types of electronic stores, but you know, it's hard enough to find an AM/FM radio anymore. Never mind an HD radio.
They're already going to be surprised anyway, just because you want a radio. So
yeah, what you don't want a computer? You know, you don't want a smartphone? You don't want whatever? Yeah, I don't know. But this is kind of strange to invest that money in all of this equipment and then suddenly decide we're going to turn them off.
Yep.
You know, this is one example up right now. I don't know if there'll be more of these, but we'll have to keep an eye out to see if anybody follows the lead of Wisconsin here with the public radio. All right. Let's see. We have some news from the United States. It appears that the presidential transition effort has announced their agency review teams. The United States Agency for Global Media is coming in for scrutiny with a dedicated team. Now, they've announced some people who the new Biden administration will put in place, which means a bunch of people are going to be taken out of these positions and new people put in. We don't have a lot of information at this point in time. They've published a lot of names. And Dan Robinson, who previously worked with the Voice of America, has sort of looked into the background of some of these people. Richard Stengel served as Undersecretary of State for Public Diplomacy under Obama. Before that, he was with Time magazine. Conniff and Sherman are ex-employees of the agency, and looks like they're being brought back. They each have various histories within the agency. One of them was the head of the Middle East Broadcasting Network, which is some of the overseas broadcasting. Dana Shell Smith is the sister of the former Bureau of Broadcast Governors chairman, Jeff Shell, and was ambassador to Qatar in the Obama administration. Another one is Taylor is with the Brookings Institution and also worked on Capitol Hill with the Democratic side of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And Rumana Ahmed served for a short time in the Trump administration and is remembered for authoring an article in The Atlantic sharply criticizing Trump policies. So a lot of these positions will affect international broadcasting from the United States to other parts of the world, including Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, Radio Asia, Radio Marti, I guess, would be thrown in there. So it'll be interesting to see where all of these people get positioned, whether the policies on international broadcasting will be changing. This will all come down the road when Biden's administration and he is inaugurated. So already, though, he seems to be getting a team in place, and we'll wait to see how these people are going to make changes, if changes are coming to international broadcasting from the United States.
Yep, that could have a really big impact on the type of programming also coming out of VOA.
I think so. And we have a couple, just very quickly, a couple contests coming up for Ham Radio. There's a Bulgarian DX contest coming up on the 21st and 22nd of November. It is HF, CW, and SSB. There's an all-Austrian 160-meter band contest. It is CW only on November the 21st. And the ARRL sweepstakes contest, it is an HF-SSB contest running from November 21st through the 23rd. We'll put up the links to all of these with the exact times and websites where you can find out more information about those ham radio contests coming up.
Always fun to listen to these, and I try to follow them every week. So we're just quickly, I have a little bit of time just to say that for those of you out there that have a Receiva-based internet radio, Receiva.com is shutting down at the end of January, which means your internet radio might stop working, like my CNG and WFR20. So that is sad. I would just say, if you do own one of those radios, contact the manufacturer and let them know that you're not very happy to know that your internet radio might become a useless box. And so we are already at the end. I'm always amazed at how fast it goes when we're doing the show.
It does. We can talk about those HD radios or internet radios a little bit more next week, maybe.
Yep.
As there's some feedback coming, I'm sure, about of all of that happening. Thank you for listening today. We hope you will join us next week for our next edition of the show. You've been listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.
Make sure my levels are at around 8.
CKUT 90.3 FM.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's kind of a tongue twister.
Am I popping my peas?
CKUT 90.3 FM.
Start again.
Oh, should I do that? Okay.
I need a script.
CKUT 90.3 FM.
I So, you want me to go through it again and actually say that?
This sounds so repetitive.
See, now I can't do it. Once more, okay.
CKUT 90.3 FM.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait, wait, do you want me to say hello?
I'll have to do another one.
Yeah, maybe one last one.
Radio CKUT 90.3 FM.
Are you recording?
You are?
Oh. Can you press stop?
Red alert. The spread of COVID-19 is at a critical level in your area or a neighboring region. Getting together with family or friends is prohibited, and traveling to other regions is not recommended. More targeted restrictions have been put into place to limit the spread and prevent a lockdown. Learn more at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Continue to wash your hands, keep a 2-meter distance, and wear a mask when physical distancing is impossible. We need to act now. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.